Welcome to the morning show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. His name is Luke Rogers, at the Luke Rogers on the Twitters, at Braden Gall, Julian Council producing. We got a big announcement coming up at 9:45, the final segment of the show. You're not going to want to miss that. Intern Calvin back there hanging out. We also have a giveaway this hour, some cool stuff, Nashville SC tickets and Body Armor Kroger gift card as well, coming up in like 10 minutes from now. We're going to do that. But you're going to have to know... You're going to have to know a little something-something about one of the teams in the Super Bowl.
Boom.
So, sort of-ish, around something in the Super Bowl. So, I guess we'll just go ahead and we'll do the most boring thing ever in sports talk radio about a football game, and that is make a prediction. I asked you guys earlier in the show, has anything changed over the course of the week? Julian has been on the birds all week.
Of course he has.
Julian is counterculture and has to pick the opposite of everything, which I do respect, actually, because I don't like it when the herd all thinks that one thing is going to happen.
Right.
That's when I start to think that people are going the other way. But there's been so much money bet on the Eagles, and the point spread is so much smaller than I would imagine this when you start looking at biggest upsets in Super Bowl history. So let me first give you those names. Obviously, the biggest upset in Super Bowl history from a point spread, just point spread standpoint, was the Jets over the Colts with the guaranteed Joe Namath. They were an 18-point underdog, according to Vegas. Think about that in the NFL, 18-point underdog. The Giants over the undefeated 16-0 Patriots that needed the David Tyree play and then the Plaxico Burress play, 14-point underdog.
Mm.
The Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl IV over the Minnesota Vikings, 23-17, they were a 12-point underdog.
Is that Lynn Dawson? Lenny, baby.
I believe so. That would have been 65 toss power trap with Hank Stram.
It might
bust wide open, fellas.
He's gold. I love that guy.
It might bust wide open. If you've watched NFL films, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't think people realize this. The Rams were a 14-point favorite over the New England Patriots. This whole dynasty got started because of a 2-touchdown upset in the Super Bowl. And Ty Law had the big interception and the first field goal from Vinatieri. And in 2001, New England goes on to win the Super Bowl as a 14-point underdog. And then, of course, the one that still haunts my nightmares, the Denver Broncos, an 11-point underdog on the Green Bay Packers in 1997. So this one, statistically, if the Eagles were to win this game, statistically, this one isn't even close to any of that.
It does feel lopsided, though, like sort of.
But it feels like this would be a monstrosity of an upset.
I think it has to do with history. Like
it only has to do with the quarterback. Like that's the only thing people are looking at when they're talking about this is going to be a massive upset. Like if Carson Wentz is playing this game and they win, you're like, oh, that's fine. The Eagles were the one seed. Yeah, you would probably
would
pick them.
Like
the Eagles were the one seed in the NFC all year. Like they were great. They were still the one seed and they still won their playoff games. And the last one we just saw them play, they blew out the Vikings, who were the 2 seed and had a quarterback in Case Keenum who played throughout the season and had the best year of his career and won a lot of games. That's the only thing people are looking at when they're saying this is going to be a game where the Patriots win and that it could be lopsided is the fact that Nick Foles is playing quarterback and it's not Carson Wentz. They're not looking at any other factors of this game.
Well, so I am looking at all of the factors.
I'm talking about like initially. The people from the service, like, yes, I know you and us, we're looking into it because, like,
right,
we're supposed
jobs.
To do that. Yeah.
So tell me then, so why is it? Because I've looked at everything. I think the Eagles are a better team, maybe even top to bottom. I think the defensive line for the Eagles is better. They're missing their Pro Bowl left tackle, they're missing their best player at quarterback. Why is it that the quarterback still wouldn't be the deciding factor, though? Like I'm trying to get on board with. Because I'm rooting for Philadelphia. I'm rooting openly, and like most of Americans, we're rooting openly for Philadelphia to win this, unless you're probably like
quarterback,
a Giants fan.
He's only so much of a factor if he goes out there and makes mistakes. If he doesn't make mistakes and he goes out there and they put him in a game plan where they're able to at least outmaneuver Bill Belichick, then you're able to, you know, make the plays that are necessary. Like the game plan they drew up against Minnesota, which apparently, allegedly, up to that point was the best defense. I don't want to ever hear anything good about the Vikings defense here on moving forward.
Your pick to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. No, my pick was the Chiefs, but to go to the Super Bowl. But
you said a phrase in there. You said, what'd you say? You didn't say out-scheme. You said outmaneuver Bill Belichick.
Yeah, they're not going to out-scheme
Who's ever done that? No one's ever done that to Belichick.
I'm just saying, like, I get it. Belichick, we saw the 30 for 30 last night. He's one of the greatest defensive minds in the history of football. That makes a lot of sense. Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, John DeFilippo, they've also had 2 weeks to figure things out, and they've done a tremendous job the last year, especially this year, with both Carson Wentz, who would have been the MVP on Saturday night had he not torn his ACL back in Week 13 in Los Angeles, and the job that they did with Nick Foles and the game plan to just torch the number one defense in the NFL. I have confidence that these guys can put something together alongside with the parts around Nick Foles, because let's remember, quarterbacks are only really what they are, especially guys like Nick Foles, are only what they are with the guys around them. When you have Torrey Smith, when you have Alshon Jeffery, when you have Nelson Agholor, and then you have the running backs and LeGarrette Blount, who was with the Patriots last year, and you have Jay Ajayi, who they traded for the Eagles. When you have those in a great offensive line and in a defense that made plays last time they played the Vikings and has the guys they have up front that can get pressure on Tom Brady, that allows a quarterback to like not feel the kind of pressure that some guys would feel if it was just, you know, Tom Brady out there playing by himself. If he didn't have like pieces around him, or like if Nick Foles, and I guess in this scenario, playing with guys who weren't up to snuff, going up against a Patriots defense that's going to have a serious game plan set for them come Sunday afternoon.
Luke, are you buying anything that Julian just sold you?
No, here's my thing.
He's not wrong on any of that.
No, he's not. But here's what I'm going back to with this whole thing is that I think the reason that our perception is it's so lopsided and the line doesn't reflect that is it's a dynastical element of the Patriots. It's Tom Brady. It's Bill Belichick. It's the 5-time Super Bowl champions, and they are like Goliath. So I don't think it matters. Even in, you know, he was saying with Carson Wentz's plan, I agree the line is much closer.
If Jason Peters,
I think the perception is still though that you have to beat the Patriots because the Patriots are the Patriots.
If Jason Peters, their all world left tackle, which I think is underrated in this conversation. Lane Johnson's really good.
I like Lane Johnson,
but he's really good. Also been busted for some.
He went full Brian Cushing.
Some Brian Cushing stuff.
Yeah.
But again, very good player. If their Pro Bowl left tackle, all-world left tackle, Jason Peters is playing and Carson Wentz is playing, I would pick the Eagles to win straight up. And I think they might even be favored by a point or two.
Not like the Patriots have a great pass rush coming out the edge anyway.
Because Hightower's out. I mean, I think they'd be favored. I think the Eagles, if Carson Wentz and Peters were in this game, I think the Eagles would be favored by
because we sit here all the time.
Yeah, but do you think people still pick?
No.
No,
see, that's
don't.
What I'm saying.
No,
that's
don't.
My point. Exactly.
The thing is, like, it's funny because like when we look at football a lot of times, we just like forget about just who the players are. We always talk about, well, how do you win football games? I mean, defense, special teams also, but mainly it's a line of scrimmage game. And we look at the line of scrimmage and we see that the Eagles have the advantage. But then we look at Tom Brady and we look at Bill Belichick and the aura and the allure that is the Patriots that they've been the last, what, 18 years basically is with those guys at the helm,
right.
And we completely just forget everything that we know about football and ignore that in favor of what that is. On some ends, it makes sense. Sometimes, though, it doesn't, because we did it a couple years ago when they went down there to Denver and Peyton Manning barely could throw the football. And that Patriots offensive line, which had what was on like combination like 30 of the season,
yeah,
got eaten alive by one of the best defenses that you've ever seen. No, this Eagles defense is not as good as that Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware. Yeah, exactly. They're not as good as that defense, but they can wreak havoc against this New England Patriots offensive line up the middle. So I'm not going to sit here and forget everything that I at least pretend and seem to know about the game of football just because I see Tom Brady, who is the best quarterback ever, and I see Bill Belichick, who's the greatest defensive football mind ever.
So Philadelphia 77, New England 0.
No. That means it's a close game. I'm not going to give a score, but I think it'll be a close game.
Philadelphia close.
Philadelphia close.
Wise Guy Money is coming in on Philly. All the gambling's coming in on Philly.
I'm going with the Patriots still. It's a big game.
Anybody who does that.
Also, I think the thing is that you look at people like to look at history, and it's tough to bet against the Pats in the Super Bowl.
So,
in a big game.
Think about last year. Think about where we all were as sports fans watching that game. It was 28-3 going into the third quarter, and I still thought the Patriots. I didn't think they were going to win, but I still was sitting there going,
"They got more than this.
Patriots are going to make a run on you. They're going to make a run." Like Belichick comes out of halftime of that game and doesn't even look like it matters to him that they're down 28-3. Like they're on the sideline, like, "Okay, just another game. We're going to come back here."
Yep.
And you're like, "What? What? What are you guys doing? You're about to get smoked. The biggest game of the season. And Atlanta is going to celebrate something."
Right.
which is weird.
It felt like it wasn't going to happen because
eerie.
It was Atlanta.
Yes.
You're like, Atlanta can't win the Super Bowl.
All right. I'll give you my official pick when we come back. Also, I want to talk. I want to get into halftime show and anthem commercials, all the extra stuff that goes into the Super Bowl. I got a couple of questions for you guys.
Wings.
When it comes to that. It's only 9:15, Julian. It's too early for this.
Oh, well, we got to change up the playlist. Also,
we have an announcement coming up at 9:45. Yeah. Also,
we have a winner. The song I did play earlier was from the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So, Harry Norton, congratulations. You got a $25 gift card brought to you by Body Armor to Kroger, and you're getting a pair of tickets to Nashville SC's home opener.
Sweet.
I DM'd you.
I like that. By the way, we were asked on Twitter because Julian had a breaking news weather update earlier in the show that Puxatony Phil has, in fact, seen his shadow, been scared out of his little gopher mind.
Bay Beach Bobby.
I know he's a groundhog.
Hey there, Bay Beach Bobby in green bases. Oh, I saw my shadow too.
He goes back in, although technically I don't think winter ends until like the spring solstice anyway, which is like March 21st. So
yeah, it's like March 21st.
So like technically we got that amount of winter no matter what.
Yeah, but we're talking about weather here.
But we're talking about weather here, and somebody asked, more importantly, as we quoted Groundhog Day the entire first hour of the show, somebody asked, is the most important question about this, is Groundhog Day a top five Bill Murray? Where does it rank in Bill Murray's career? To which I say Caddyshack number one. I would say Groundhog Day number two. I would probably go Stripes number three, Ghostbusters, Rushmore, What About Bob? And that would probably be my top six.
Yeah, I'm with you. I actually
Kingpin, pretty good.
Actually, it's my second favorite Bill Murray movie. What About Bob is one for me.
Caddyshack's number one for me.
See, I like Caddyshack, but I like Bob. I like Groundhog Day. I like Caddyshack, and then I like The Life Aquatic and Rushmore. That's my top.
Can
five.
We throw in Space Jam?
I love Space
you,
Jam.
You may.
I'm on your list. Too.
I bet you were on the Monstars. You're that kind of guy.
So the llama comes up to me, says, big hitter of the llama. The llama comes up to me and says, so on your deathbed, you'll achieve like, total consciousness. So
he says, Gunga, Gunga Kalunga.
Gunga, Gunga, Gunga.
Gunga Kalunga. Says, one way, you know,
right, we're not going to quote Bill Murray.
Hey, so finish 18.
Yeah, we're not going to quote Bill Murray.
And he's going to stiff me. And I'm like, hey, llama.
Llama.
How about something, you know?
Something for the effort.
For the effort. He says,
all right, we're done.
Won't be any money.
We're done. No more of this. All right. I saw Justin Timberlake. First, here's my question. I saw Justin Timberlake doing an interview on like NFL Network. He's got on the flannel shirt. He's got on like a sweatshirt and flannel. He's got the beard going. I love JT as much as everybody else. I think it's going to be a great halftime show. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be fun. It might even be more entertaining than the football game. I'm hoping not, but it will be.
Chris Stapleton's going to join it.
It'll be good. It'll be awesome. Yeah. And they obviously are good buddies and work very, very well together.
Yeah, they do.
I'm not. Are you buying this new Justin Timberlake? Like, I know the album is all about like man. What is it? Man in the Woods, Man of the Woods, something like that.
Yeah.
Are we buying this new flannel shirt wearing, scruffy beard, grizzly? Like this guy was in NSYNC and put out an album. Like his albums are not. They're flashy. They're glitzy.
This guy went through a brand change a long time ago. So if you're starting to be like now catching on to what the new JT is, I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, so there's only been one brand change?
At least this brand change has been around for like at least in the last like 6 or 7 years.
Oh, he did have a couple songs go because
this is
chart country music.
He did.
This is definitely not Justified Justin anymore.
Yeah, Drink You Away was charted on the country.
What about
music
the one
charts?
Of the Trolls movie? That's like nothing like a grungy country.
No, but like, you know, sometimes you got to get a hit out there, man.
Yeah, JT's hurting for
you gotta
that.
You got to try and win an Oscar every once in a while.
You got to get that paper.
An Oscar?
Yeah, that was up for like one of the best songs.
He is an actor.
Yeah.
He's
not talking about like the song was up. He's never going to get an Oscar
like
for acting.
Smoking Aces
the song.
Or something? He was in a, no, it was the, he's been in a few movies.
He's been in some good movies back in the day. Well, there was a dark movie about some young kids.
Yeah, I forget what it was.
I can't remember what that one. You, Julian, would probably know what that one is.
Hmm?
There's like I'll look up IMDb JT here in the commercial break. There was a dark movie where like he was a part of some young kids where like a guy got in trouble or died or something. It was a really weird movie. It's one of those weird movies. I'll look it up during the commercial
break. Great description.
Stop talking about it on
Alpha
the air.
Dog. Was that it?
That might be it actually.
Alpha Dog maybe.
It was probably terrible. Like all the movies he's been in.
Yeah. Wow.
What about the one with Mila? Wow, wasn't he one with Mila Kunis?
Oh! Don't even get me started on that.
Why?
I ran a national poll one time with the help of Mike Gold Jr. of what was a better movie, No Strings Attached or Friends of Benefits. I've always been a Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman, No Strings Attached man, but most of America went with Friends of Benefits because they thought Mila Kunis was hot.
I don't like Ashton Kutcher. I think JT's a better actor.
Thank you. Natalie Portman is hotter, and she won an Oscar.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Natalie Portman is hotter. This is not a conversation we're going to have.
I'm with Julian on this one.
Woo!
You guys are all three of you going.
Attached, baby.
All three of you are going Natalie Portman over Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where we are in this country.
Also, remember that scene in The Black Swan?
Huh?
You ever see the Black Swan? We'll talk about it.
You ever seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I love that
movie.
It's all about Alice Snow. Awesome. Yes. Kristen Bell. Also
I'll take my eyes, but not the shirt.
Table for one? All right, we're just going to quote movies on the show today.
Man, not now. I'm at work. I can't sell you.
I'm taking the Patriots. Give me the Patriots. I want to believe everything Julian is telling me about the Eagles.
Go to the ocean.
I want to believe that they're going to win the line of scrimmage. And I think you're going to find out very quickly that if Fletcher Cox is going to play the role he has to play for the Eagles to win the game, he is going to have to bull rush up the middle and destroy the pocket in front of Tom Brady. And if he can do that from the word go and continue to do that throughout the course of the whole game, then I think that we can have one of these Giants-Patriots or Patriots-Rams sort of weird upset situations where it's really low scoring and all of a sudden a field goal kicker is going to win the game at the end. I can see that. But it's going to have to be Fletcher Cox, the best player probably on the field, is going to have to dominate up the middle and disrupt the pocket, up the gut at Tom Brady. That you cannot get to him off the edge because he's too fast at getting rid of the football. Derek Barnett, good luck, son.
Yeah.
I think you're a great player, but you're not going to get to him coming off the edge on a speed rush. You have to get to him up the middle, and it's all about Fletcher Cox. And if he's good from the beginning and he looks like a good, dominant player early in the game, then they have a chance. If he is not getting a push at all in the first three or four series, it's going to be a long day for the Eagles defense because they don't have the same talent on the back end as they do on the front line. So to me, Fletcher Cox.
Right.
That's the guy I've been talking about all week. It's all about Fletcher
Cox. If he doesn't get there, I'd say Tom Brady is going to be like a man in the woods.
Oh, God. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
He's not under
pressure. He's going to be alone in the woods.
Yeah, like alone in the pocket.
I don't know what that means.
Justin Timberlake.
I mean, I get...
Right? Yeah, I'm just trying to make everything seamless here, Braden. It's my Friday input here and sort of my addition to the show. I just want to make it all seamless.
We got a big announcement coming up at 9:45, so make sure you stay tuned for that. John Kincaid, by the way, is going to join us. And tell everybody, Julian, why John Kincaid, who is a radio host in Atlanta...
Mm-hmm.
Who lived through a snowstorm this year. Survived on the air with us, driving in a snowstorm, and the Atlanta Falcons debacle last year against the Patriots. Tell everybody why John Kincaid's going to join us next.
John Kincaid is a lifelong, long-suffering Philadelphia Eagles fan from, obviously, Philadelphia. He flew up for the NFC Championship game on his own dime to go watch his beloved Eagles.
What fans do.
And now his beloved Eagles are in the Super Bowl playing against the Patriots on Sunday. He is currently in Las Vegas. He's been doing a show from Las Vegas all week. I don't know why, but I'm not mad at him for it.
I think he does it every year, right?
I believe so. I believe he did it last year. But he will be joining us to talk about the Eagles and just because he's an awesome guest.
Well, we do love talking to John.
Yeah, we can really, honestly, we might not talk about the Eagles, talk about anything.
What's Bill Murray's best movie? And what do you think of Justin Timberlake's brand change? That's what we're going to ask John Kincaid.
Sure, he'll have a lot to say.
He probably will when we come back.
Say Zombieland.
So we'll take a little break. Zombieland, by the way, that is one of the best 10 seconds of acting Bill Murray has ever done in his entire life. That dying scene, not spoiler alert.
Yeah.
With him. Is it Emma Stone that's standing there next to him?
I think it is.
And she's just dying laughing at Bill Murray dying. Oh, my God, it's so good. But also want to remind everybody, get a jump start to the golf season at the Nashville Golf Show this weekend at the Music City Center, an expo of all things golf, from equipment and apparel to accessories, travel, and instructions from PGA professionals. Also play contests, including long drive competition, chipping and putting events. Tickets will be available at NashvilleGolfShow.com. With each advanced ticket purchase, receive a free round of golf while supplies last. So check out NashvilleGolfShow.com. When we come back, John Kincaid going to join us and talk about who knows what. His name is Luke Rogers, at the Luke Rogers. My name's Braden Gall. This is ESPN 1025 The Game.
All right, okay, go.
How's he doing? Is John okay?
You are so happy, Julian.
Yeah, John, you're on the air. They're complaining because I'm having a conversation with you instead of them talking to you.
Yeah, we're jealous.
That's okay.
We're jealous.
That's okay. I like conversation. I am standing in front of Planet Hollywood, staring across at Caesars and Bellagio and the Cosmopolitan, and I realize that I am like 48 hours away from something I've wished my whole life to see happen. And I am honestly, I feel like a 12-year-old. I'm so excited for what's going to go down on Sunday night.
So John Kincaid joining us here from 680 The Fan in ESPN in Atlanta, which is exactly how Julian Council feels when he talks to you. So that's
isn't
that's,
that nice?
Yes.
Well, Julian, by the way, he is on my top 10 underrated Twitter followers that people should follow. He is a top 10 underrated Twitter follow. Bright, interesting, sarcastic, and snarky, and fun. He understands the medium, so I'm a huge fan.
He actually can die now, I think, actually. He might not come back to work ever again. That might be the peak of his career.
Well, so many people don't have fun with it.
What's Julian Council are we talking about?
Oh no, he's absolutely describing Julian Council's Twitter account. There's no question about
that. These people are so serious as a heart attack.
I know.
My hot sports opinion is so important and it's so I'm like, God, get the pole out of your behind. And just relax. Just relax and have fun with it. Julian gets that, and I'm glad to see he's got a show to now on the weekend. What's going on?
I know. Taking over the universe. John Kincaid joining us here. So lifelong Eagles fan. So you're in Vegas. Explain to me, as a lifelong Eagles fan, I don't know if you can objectively do this or not, but explain to me why all of the money, why is all the money coming in on Philly?
I'm gonna say this is that, and I'm gonna ask you guys to go through a little exercise with me. We live in SEC country, okay? Me in Atlanta, you guys in Nashville. You understand that SEC country and how it works. If I was to say to you, what do we always hear? Where are football games won?
In the trenches.
Okay, the Eagles are better on the defensive line, and the Eagles are better on the offensive line. So I think you look at it that way. Then what do people tell you to win in the postseason? You have to be able to run the ball and stop the run. The Eagles are the better team running the ball, and the Eagles are the better team stopping the run. So all I've heard all week long is the gaggle of morons that just continue to say, well, Brady and Belichick, look, I get it. They're awesome. They are spectacular. But there is zero debate that the better team in the Super Bowl, with or without Carson Wentz, is the Philadelphia Eagles. They're the better team. Better on the line of scrimmage. Better running the ball, better run defense. They're the better team. And that's why it scares me not having Wentz, because with Wentz, I think this would be a blowout. I think it would be a 14-point win, 17-point win. I still think Foles will get the job done, and I think the Eagles are winning the Super Bowl.
I mean, if they had Wentz and Peters, I would pick them to win easily as well. I'd pick them to win easily as well.
Over. I mean,
but they don't. They have Nick Foles.
I get it, but here's what I'm going to say to you. And I'm not doing revisionist history because people can go to my Twitter feed and they can see my videos before the games. I told all of Atlanta, much to my dismay, as I needed a food tester for an entire week leading up to the Falcons-Eagles game. I was afraid to eat out in the town. Everybody was going to kill me. I told Atlanta exactly how that game would go down. I said, the Falcons are bad in the red zone. Falcons are going to shoot themselves in the foot with their unforced errors. And the Philadelphia Eagles defense is clearly superior, and Nick Foles will be able to do underneath pass on them all day long. That's exactly what happened. And they won. Everybody was like, wow, Nick Foles won a playoff game. And then last week, I went out again, and I said, folks, 2 weeks ago, I said, folks, the Minnesota Vikings is a better matchup for the Eagles. They're going to win, and they're going to win by a comfortable margin, and they did it. People just keep – I know quarterback is so huge. It is. It's so, so huge. And the guy on the other sideline is just ridiculously awesome. But Nick Foles does exactly what he's asked to do, and he executes it well. Do you realize right now, the Philadelphia Eagles are on a streak right now where they are the seventh longest streak in NFL history of not throwing multiple interceptions in a game. It's the seventh longest streak ever, and it's active going into the Super Bowl. Hope I didn't just jinx Nick Foles and the Eagles, but Doug Peterson has drawn up an offense in his 2 years. And he did that, by the way, this streak, mostly with a first-year quarterback and a second-year quarterback in Wentz, learning his way. He designs a beautiful offense. He keeps it simple. And as long as they can chew clock, and the Patriots' run defense sucks. I mean, honestly, it's not good. If they can run the ball and bleed clock and limit Brady's possessions, the Eagles are winning the Super Bowl. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a blowout. It's going to be the hardest matchup they've had. But the Eagles are winning the Super Bowl.
John Kincaid joins us, picking the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. John, question, you brushed at it there a second ago. How big of an impact does Doug Peterson have from the sideline? And how in your mind, being a lifelong Eagles fan, how has the team changed under Doug Peterson's leadership and to get to where they are today?
Well, here's, Well, here's the one thing is that there is a toughness factor that came back to this organization once we got Chip Kelly the enema and got him out of the building. Chip Kelly weakened the roster. Chip Kelly made them a softer team. He wanted a Pac-12 team playing in the NFC East. And yes, Chip Kelly got his wins, and it looked good. But he damaged the roster. And and that's one of the things Doug Peterson came in. He understood from his days in Green Bay, from his days in Philadelphia, he understood you got to be rugged playing the NFC East. You got to be rugged just to get out of your division. And if you can win the East, you get a home game, anything can happen in the postseason. So he developed a system where, hey, we're going to run the ball, and we're not going to be a sexy team. We're not going to be this sexy offensive team. And then he coached up Carson Wentz. And I'm so excited because I truly believe Wentz is going to get them to a few of these games himself. You know, he'll be when you got that great quarterback, you usually do get two, maybe three chances to try to be able to go get that ring. And they're getting one this year with Nick Foles, an opportunity to do it. To me, that's pretty amazing. He, by the way, I will not be a hypocrite. When he was hired, I questioned the hire. I wasn't anti it because I'm a huge Andy Reid fan and what he brought to the organization. But I questioned it. I wondered. This was a guy coaching high school football 10 years ago. 10 years ago. He's coaching high school football. He's coaching the Super Bowl on Sunday. It's a pretty amazing story.
Junkin' K talking about WAR there. We got a baseball stat. It sounds like wins above replacement there with Carson Wentz.
Oh,
I like
that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
and believe me, and I'm not one of those Sabercats. I am not into the I'm into basics. I'm into basics. Can you run the football? Can you stop it? I've been in SEC country too long. You know, I'm so excited for this because I do believe they're the better team. And I think a lot of people are on them, though. I think a lot of people are sort of understanding that. But look, the Brady and Belichick mystique is crazy. And if they win another Super Bowl, nobody's going to be surprised. But when I saw 46 states this morning on my television are rooting for Philadelphia to win, mm-hmm. I almost fell off the edge of my bed, put my sneakers on. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because we're not the most likable fan base. If you haven't heard that storyline, it maybe had been mentioned once.
That's a hot take.
in the past month. And by the way, I will not be one of those silly people who comes on and tries to deny that it's a total falsehood and everything. There is a bigger percentage of jabronis in the in the Philly fan base than any fan base save Oakland out of 32. And I have been going to Eagles games since I was a little child.
So one slot above the Raiders. I love that. You can't take the bottom spot.
Self-awareness is key, John.
It really is.
Yeah, 31 out of 32 is nothing to be proud of. Let's put it that way. Second, but here's what I would say, though. I attended both playoff games. I was there both games in Philly. The percentage of fans that are acting in jackassery is a small percentage, no matter what people want you to believe. It is a small percentage. It is not large things. It is not Thunderdome. Going to Lincoln Financial Field is sort of like going to church compared to the old Vet, where I saw things that have still scarred me and still embarrassed me. It still embarrassed me. I saw treatment of fans when I was a young man in that Vet that just disgusted me. I've never been afraid to speak out about it, and people try to shout me down about it, like, oh, well, you've been in Atlanta too long. I'm like, BS. I'm an Eagles fan, and I've been there, and I'm there every single year, and I see it.
No, I think you've earned it.
Much better.
I think you've earned it. I'm just surprised you're not in Minnesota right now instead of Vegas. So I'll say this:
well,
we are rooting for you as well.
Guilted.
We are rooting
I'm
for you as well.
I'm getting guilted about that,
John. Are there a lot of Eagles fans in Vegas right now?
Yes.
Are they greasing the lamp poles there? That's what I want to know. Are you climbing lamp poles later tonight? Or later on Sunday night.
Funny, I saw people climbing poles last night, but it was a totally different type of experience.
Whoa!
I'm just teasing.
Hey, they are greasing poles in Vegas.
I'll be going to church on the Strip tomorrow, right after my network show, Super Bowl special. And then, guys, love it and love Nashville. And go Preds.
just split on 8, 9, and 10, John, all right?
Yeah, I love he's catering to the fan base here, too.
All right, John. Thanks
John,
a lot,
thank
man.
You for joining us,
hey,
John.
Take care of yourself. See you.
Absolutely. John Kincaid from a radio station in Atlanta talking about the Eagles. He's a huge fan of the Eagles and is in Vegas for some reason. If you've got that kind of money, why don't you go to Minneapolis if you're that lifelong of an Eagles fan? I think he goes out there and does work each year. They do a show out there. So we've got some
sounds like a lot of work.
We have some controversy to get to on the giveaway and also an announcement coming up next right here on The Morning Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How do I say goodbye to
You're listening to 102.5 live from the Gabe Nashville Studios.
Times outweigh the bad.
Oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Live from the Gabe Nashville Studios, presented by Whole Sandwich.
I can't say
Juliet. You will in a moment.
My send off.
You just did.
I'm moving to Coeur d'Alene.
So, first of all, before we get to the big announcement, we have Do we have Twitter beef right now with this giveaway?
Yeah, like, so this happens a lot with you guys out there. I don't understand. We got a lot of great giveaways here. One good thing about not giving away Preds tickets anymore, you animals aren't out here just like ripping each other apart and me apart for not giving you tickets. So apparently this today, Zach, who's a loyal listener, he won.
We do love you, Zach.
You know, he got in the Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but it came right behind Harry Norton. And Zach's like, oh, come on. He didn't even say the full name, blah, blah, blah. I showed him a screenshot of the timestamp. You both got at 10 minutes, but you maybe were second or two behind him, so you didn't win.
Timestamped on Twitter is the end-all be-all.
Yeah, so,
that's it.
And Zach understood. He lapped it off and whatnot. But then Harry comes flying in.
Off the top rope.
Tweets at him, says, always, it's in Philadelphia, you noob. I've seen every episode at least 7 times. I guess he tagged him his boys for backup. Then he says, dude, quit crying. And no, there's been no response from Zach yet.
Zach's just shut down after
but
that.
But we are...
All right, so the Twitter controversy has been solved.
It hasn't been solved yet. We might be...
Mr. Norton is the winner, not Zach.
Yeah. Yeah, he won.
All right. Norton, congratulations. All right, for the announcement, that song used to be our last segment song on Fridays to celebrate. You know, this is normally the time when I would say something, somebody would say something about like how hard this person has worked, or, you know, this is also the time when someone would be like, I'm really appreciative of all the work you've done, and that I really think you were a great member of the team, and like really appreciate all the things you did for us. And I think that you are going to go on to do many, many great things in your career, and that I wish you best of luck.
That's not what this
is. But instead, Julian Council is leaving the show to move
to
Brady.
Hold on.
Good riddance.
I'm moving. don't tell the audience a lie. Yeah, starting on Monday, so I'll be heading out of town on Sunday. I'm moving to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. This is news to everybody, actually. I'm breaking right now. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
You like a bicycle.
To become an apprentice at a pottery shop. So I've always wanted to learn the art of pottery and be by the Idaho lakeside. So I'll be moving to Coeur d'Alene on Sunday. It's been real Nashville. I've really enjoyed it. These last, I guess it's, 14 months? I'm not very good at counting North Carolina public school education, but that will be happening. And it's been fun. I really appreciate you listeners. You know, getting up at 4:15 a.m. is brutal. I hated it. I will always hate it. And I was very happy to turn off all those alarms. I've now changed my alarm to 7:15, which is a far more normal time.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to sleep in too much, maybe 8 o'clock every once in a while, but I'm sad to announce that I'm moving to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and I did it. I'm a PNW guy now.
So again,
hey, Coeur d'Alene, dude, putting the pot back in pottery.
Coeur d'Alene's great, by the way. It's an awesome city. So again, this is normally where a normal human being would say something like, thank you for all your hard work and for everything that you've done for the show, and best of luck. But instead, good riddance, and God bless Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. So, also a great song by The Head and the Heart.
The key here is we have traded. So the real actual announcement here is that the morning show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game has traded Julian Council to 3D in exchange for Chase McCabe and a player to be named later. That has happened. Welcome into the studio, new morning show producer, Chase McCabe.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I am great. I'm excited to join you guys starting Monday. It has been a fun week for me. A lot of big news, so it's cool that part
Congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to join you guys and have some fun in the mornings. And I know Julian is going to do a great job in Idaho, aka 3D, with Darren and Willie and those guys, and kind of continuing what we've built over the past 2.5 years with the midday show. And I'm excited to help build the morning show even further as we go into a new frontier.
We are excited to have you. The Midday Show is excited to get Julian, and there will be more announcements next week.
Yeah, I'm,
we'll just leave it at that.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm actually moving to Idaho, so
no,
like,
we know.
Okay,
no, we know.
So when I don't show up on Monday, don't be surprised.
Is Food Network doing a special on this too?
Is this season three of the Food Network in Coeur d'Alene?
We're working on season two. Okay.
Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Somewhere, Buck Rising is just, you know, hitting a wall right now. He's just
that's what he does normally.
Busted a wall. Yeah.
And Julian Council has a mustache. You can always trust the guy with a mustache. I don't know what to believe now.
Certainly can.
Riding my mustache coattails.
You also have a little Larry Bird dirty stash.
My
right
wife
there.
Says I look like Sturgill Simpson and the guy from Narcos, and that makes me happy. So if she likes it, then I like it.
So the trade trade's been officially announced on Twitter.
Well, but we still haven't named the other player has not been named yet.
No, but you know, I mean, we're jumping the gun here. I mean, this
we're
is
breaking
the news.
News.
We're breaking the news.
Do we have sources on this? Do we have to, like,
according to sources, the morning show with Braden Gall has traded Julian Council to 3D in exchange for Chase McCabe. But see. They don't have
cash,
all
and cash considerations.
Cash considerations, and there might be some draft picks in there.
This Bay Beach Bobby broke this one, huh?
Nobody knows what that means.
That's the groundhog from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Confirmed
Punxsutawney Phil's.
Look, I have looked at you three times today, and I've been like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I mean it. Normally, I don't mean it. But
Chattanooga
I mean it
Chuck
time.
also chiming in with a confirmation.
Riding these, you know, forest creature. coattails into weather, fame, and fortune. Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow today.
Did he?
Who you got in the Super Bowl, Chase? Or do you have to wait to hold that?
I'm going to wait.
You're going to wait and hold on?
I'm going to wait and reveal that in Pick 6 today.
Great job with Colton Sissons, by the way, last night. Preds get a big win, 5-0. You had a chance to talk with Colton Sissons. We heard that earlier. You can check it out on demand, of course, as well. So, Luke, we'll do obligatory... don't care about the national anthem this year. I love the national anthem. I don't care about who's singing it this year. If it was Lady Gaga.
For the Preds?
No. For the Super Bowl. Lady Gaga and Whitney Houston set the bar so high that no one's ever going to do
Whitney Houston set the bar above Lady Gaga's bar, which...
I don't know, dude. Lady Gaga is on par with bar. On par with that bar is Lady Gaga. But Pink, I don't think Pink is capable.
That's who's singing the national anthem?
Yeah,
forgot that.
I don't know if she's capable. JT will be good, but here's the question. What does the Super Bowl party look like for one Luke Rogers?
You know what I'm doing is I'm doing 200 wings this year. Not for me personally. I'm doing 100 in my smoker and the other 100 on the grill. And I'm going to you got to have wings.
I will be using the green egg on Sunday as
well.
Oh
man, there's nothing like grilling and hopefully it'll warm up a little bit for us, but that's it's going to be food. Some good old-fashioned like, Milwaukee water, some brown water.
Is it going to be like private, just sort of you and the special lady friend, and that'll be about it? Or
no,
are you having like a party?
Be some visitors. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me.
You're invited. Do you want to come?
Do you want to bring my, can I bring my 15-month-old?
Yeah, you can. As long as you bring a potluck
What if I just
dish.
Bring more wings?
That might be a little overkill.
Because that's what I do is wait. I smoke wings on the
well, end. Well, forget about it. I won't do the wings. You bring the wings.
That's so much pressure. I don't want to do that.
I know.
You got all your cool friends at a cool party.
You know what, though? I mean, Groundhog Day, it used to mean something in this town.
What are you talking about?
They used to pull the hog out and they'd eat it.
Oh, my God.
You're hypocrites, all of you.
What in the world?
I'm with Julian on this one.
No, it's cool.
Hey, Super Bowl I can't agree with you as your last minute on the show. I have to disagree with you.
Super Bowl, guys.
That's fine. We still have another
no Patriots.
Minute. We haven't gotten to 55.
I think you actually, I'm going to give you a real hot take, but I think it's true. You can actually judge the quality of a Super Bowl party by the amount of dips they have there because I'm telling you, man, you've got to have French onion dip. You've got to have queso.
No. That's wrong. There's
you've
only
have
one
guacamole.
Ranch.
What?
One dip.
What is that?
Pimento cheese, obviously.
Oh, pimento cheese is, yeah. I actually prefer to have a cheese plate.
Wait, you're the nerd because he's the foodie with pimento cheese dip as his. As
you're
his
all dip. Nerds to me.
Well, that's fine. I take that as a compliment.
Hey, would you get to Coeur d'Alene already? Get out of here.
Yeah, dude, leave. Look, I'm packing up the bag.
Your plane's leaving, dude. You're going to be late.
I'm driving there, actually.
Oh, well, you are.
I am.
You're a pioneer.
Hoping
Lewis
to get there by the time the Eagles Super Bowl celebration.
I judge a Super Bowl party based on if there are two spaces for the Super Bowl. This is my theory on the Super Bowl parties.
Okay,
you need
I'm ready.
Two spaces. You need one space for people who care deeply about the game, who want to watch every play and talk about only the game. Then you need another space for all the other people that are going to talk about whatever the heck else they're talking about while sort of casually watching the game. That is how you need to watch. That is my biggest learning thing of watching Super Bowls is you have to have two separate viewing sections of the party so that one doesn't bother the other. That is critically important.
Yeah.
And otherwise, wings all day, baby.
Wings yeah, wings day. Is where it's at.
Luke Rogers.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Let's go play some golf.
We always have fun on Fridays, do we not?
Yes, we do. Friday's a great day. For Luke Rogers, you can follow him on Twitter, @TheLukeRogers. Julian Council, it's been a pleasure, my friend. You've done an excellent job over the last year and a half. Thank you for being our producer and for getting up early and for sort of working hard. We do appreciate it.
Wasn't my choice, so whatever, man. You're welcome, I guess.
Wasn't my choice.
Don't expect any good words from him at all. Intern Calvin, you're the man. Always a pleasure as well.
You can take that gratitude and
until next week, folks. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show. 3D coming up next right here on ESPN. 102.5 The Game. When it's over.